This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long in studio. Before we start Sports Talk, I'm going to throw it to Ian Ozan, who has a weather bulletin for us.
Yeah, Mike, the National Weather Service just came in with a new flash flood warning, or really an extension of that warning. Now in effect until 7:15 for New Orleans and St. Bernard Parish, especially New Orleans East, Araby, and the Chalmette areas. Some areas seeing as much as 6 inches of rain. Interstate 510, I-10 in New Orleans East, encountering some flash flooding right now. So again, if you don't have to be on the roads, don't do it. But flash flood warning in effect for St. Charles, Jefferson, New Orleans, and St. Bernard till at least 6:30 for most people. But for those of you in New Orleans East into Araby and Chalmette, that warning now extended till 7:15 tonight with even more flooding rains on the way.
Ian, please keep us posted because we know this is drive time back home and it's a busy time as far as being on the street. So any other bulletins, just let us know and we'll cut right into Sports Talk.
You got it, brother.
Thank you, brother Ian. Charlie, no surprise here. We got a lot of football talk and certainly a lot of draft talk. But Cooper Flagg's announcement today that he was coming out early, I mean, that's no shock. I remember when he first got said that, and he made the comment, I don't know, I'm thinking about playing another year at Duke. I told you, ain't no way on God's green earth he plays another game after he finishes the season for Duke. And you can see the extreme amount of money. Charlie, I bet we've talked to a dozen people, and everyone you ask about Cooper Flagg, everyone said the exact same thing Nick Friedell said. He is a gold chip prospect and a cornerstone of any rebuilding basketball team.
Yeah, it was one of those situations where, we talked about this, Mike. We were going to believe that he was going to go back to Duke when we saw it. Yes, NIL money is great. And all these athletes are getting paid significant, amounts of money, especially these top guys. But professional sports is different, right? And the number one overall pick money in the NBA is different. And another thing that not many people were really considering, like not just getting your first NBA contract, but you're one step closer to the second NBA contract, and that's when you get the real generational wealth. So it made all the sense in the world for him to just be one and done with Duke and enter the NBA where he's going to be the clear-cut number one pick.
Charlie, and we just kind of a blink away. Once we finish the NFL draft, it'll be the NBA lottery, and we'll be carrying that and certainly talking about it quite a bit here on the Big 870 WWL over the weekend. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, LSU wins 2 out of 3 against University of Alabama. And Charlie, you saw when they needed something to happen, especially first two games, Alabama winning the last. But the first two games, when they needed something offensively, they came through. Steven Milam, man,
yes.
The little Duke, he got some pop on the bat. And man, he broke it open in game one.
And that game one was so gigantic, Mike. Yes, I know that game two, they have a really tight victory where it was contested at the very end. Zach Cowan on the mound, you really never felt like he was going to give up the tying run at that point. But going back to game one specifically, Ashton Larson comes in, pitch hit, three-run shot. But the Milam home run that he hit that gave LSU the lead in that game, they went on to have a huge run, you know, late in that game to take game one, which was the biggest game of the weekend, in my opinion. I thought it was foul off the bat. He ripped it. And so it was a phenomenal performance in game one where LSU came back from an early deficit. Not the best performance by Cade Anderson, once again, their ace, but they were able to overcome it, pick up a big game one victory, squeak out a game two victory, and then game three, at that point, you had won the series. It's okay, but there were a couple issues on the mound in that third matchup against Bama. Bama's a good offense. I mean, it is what it is. You took two out of three from a top 15 opponent at home. You basically did what you were supposed to do, and now you have Tennessee coming to the box, and that's going to be really, really, really fascinating to see what happens.
Try to get a ticket for that one. That one's becoming a hot ticket all across the board,
yeah.
And I know they have all kind of things happening this weekend, not only with the draft, but also certainly Jazz Fest and everything else, but that is a hot ticket, because I've had a couple calls about it already, about trying to get some tickets for different people with it, so it's interesting. In that series, there's a hate relationship between LSU baseball and Tennessee baseball.
It's kind of developing into a little mini rivalry, Mike. It's a lot of fun. I mean, listen, Tennessee's kind of the new kid on the block. They won their first national championship last year. They've been great under Coach Vitello. They've had some fantastic seasons where, you know, they haven't won it all, but they won it all this past year. And now, you know, they're good again. They're kind of just like Vitello's, in a sense, very similar to Jay Johnson, where they recruit so, so well. And they get so much talent into the program every single year, which is why you see them consistently in the top 10 under those two fantastic head coaches.
Yeah, and I always said this about Jay, because I got a good friend of mine who does scouting in Major League Baseball, and he told me, you know, when they hired Jay, he said he is going to be the Steve Spurrier of the SEC, and that, man, you're going to see a lot of offense out of him. He's a great recruiter. He's got a fertile mind. But who's really Steve Spurrier personality-wise? It's that guy at Tennessee.
Yeah, Coach Vitello.
Vitello, he really has become the SEC version in baseball of what we saw Steve Spurrier do in the SEC in football many years ago. When we come back, we'll have on with us Rohit Ponea from Covers.com. And, man, the odds are changing a bit now. And this is no shock. We've talked about it a long time. The Saints aren't going to pick no quarterback at 9. I'm not saying later on. But now you're seeing the odds sort of change a little bit more toward tight end, defensive line. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Hard Jewelers talk and text line from Covers.com, Rohit Ponea. Rohit, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. Good to be on. Excited for the draft. Excited for the upcoming season.
Yeah, so am I. Man, football season in the blink of an eye is going to be here. I know it seems long, but it won't be too much longer, so to speak, as the sands go out through the hourglass. Rohit, I'll talk to you about Saints first, because I think once the Derek Carr situation got leaked by his own camp, The betting odds sort of changed. I think a lot of us here felt that no matter what, that unless the Saints had traded up to the first pick to get Cam Ward, which I truly believe they tried to do and just could not come up with a package, they weren't going to pick a quarterback at 9. And now as it gets closer and closer, the odds are starting to change a little bit now, more toward tight end, defensive line. And that would make a lot of sense because of the fact I think most people feel Will Campbell or Armand Minbu won't be there when the Saints pick at 9.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of value in looking at those positions because, I mean, we know, like, looking back at what the last 8 first-round picks by Loomis were all either, you know, offensive linemen or defensive linemen. They like to build from the trenches out. And, yeah, I mean, quarterback is an issue, but you never want to overdraft on the quarterback because that can really set a franchise back. It really comes down to really whether or not the Saints brass thinks, you know, someone like Sanders or Dart is worthy of a top 10 pick. You know, maybe they trade down a little bit and get one of those guys. But right now, I mean, there's a lot of reports that those guys, you know, are, you know, would be overdrafted if they were taken top 10. But there's a lot of really good, you know, pass rushers in the draft, a lot of good, you know, players in the trenches that can really help them out immediately.
Rohit, one of the things is that we rarely see a tight end get picked in the top 10. Now, we did see Kyle Pitts a few years back. Now, Brock, he escaped the top 10, but man, did he pay off big for the Raiders because he was, I'm not saying everything they had, but he was a lot of what they had offensively. Your thoughts on Tyler Warren? Because, and I think Colston Loveland will follow him very quickly. I don't think Colston's going to have to wait too long to hear his name pass Tyler Warren. But it's one of those type drafts where what you've seen in the past may not convert to what is happening in this year's draft class.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really just comes down to what the offense is going to look like under Moore and how they're going to use those tight ends. Because you guys already have a pretty good tight end in Juwan Johnson. It's about how are they going to use two. And I think it's going to come down to the fact that Tyler Warren, I think if you're just looking at overall talent, is he a top 10 worthy player? Absolutely. Question is, do you want to spend a top 10 pick on a tight end when you have a ton of other positions of need throughout the roster? And I think there's a lot of other positions that, you know, they could use to shore up that would come in over there. As good as Warren is, I just don't think, I think it's a bit of an overdraft when you already have someone like Johnson at tight end.
Rohit, looking elsewhere around the NFC South, what's kind of the early buzz about what the Falcons are going to be doing with their 15th overall selection about midway through the first round?
Yeah, I mean, it's looking like defense for the Falcons. I mean, this is a team that, you know, it does make sense maybe to give Penix a little bit of help on the line or something like that. But, I mean, this defense is terrible. I don't think they've really done a ton in the offseason that really make me think that they've shored up that pass rush. I mean, you know, adding, what, a 32-year-old Leonard Floyd, I don't think that moves the needle at all. I don't think adding Morgan Fox moves the needle. And this team desperately, desperately needs pass rush. You're looking at the odds right now, and I think it's about minus 200 for them to take a defensive lineman or an edge player with their first pick. And it makes a lot of sense, too. They're picking at about number 15, middle of the draft, a ton of depth at pass rusher in this year's draft. We've got guys like James Pierce, Mikal Williams, Shamar Stewart, Mike Green, all guys that I think would be phenomenal fits for them in the middle of the first round.
Rohit, one of the teams that have really drafted well over the last 3 years, and we've seen this soft rebuild post-Tom Brady, is with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You think how they've been kind of pieced together. A wide receiver might be a nice addition, but I got a feeling if Jahad Campbell is there from Alabama, the linebacker, he just may be the guy they push the button on.
Yeah, no, actually, that's a play I really like for the Bucs where they are at number 19. Because, I mean, they've got good linebackers, but they're getting up there in age. You know, they just re-signed, he's 35 years old, gave a pretty good contract. But they could definitely use some youth at linebacker. Campbell, I think, is a great fit for them. Looks like Walker's going to be gone. Walker's probably a top 10 pick at this stage. But, yeah, I mean, I think linebacker's a great spot for them. I also think cornerback's an interesting spot as well. I think across from Dean, they could really use a shutdown corner. Will Johnson seems to be falling down a little bit because of his lack of long speed. And so I think Will Johnson could be a good spot for them at 19. I also think Jadae Barron would be a great player for them to pick up that would really shore up cornerback. And we know in the modern NFL, you can never have too many corners. And linebackers, you know, that is a position which has been a little bit undervalued lately. So it really comes down to what they see with value. But I do think Campbell would be a great fit there.
Rohit, you brought up Jalen Walker, and it feels like he would be such a good fit for the Saints at pick 9 with this new defense with Brandon Staley. The issue is the team that's right above him, and that is the Carolina Panthers at pick 8. What are your thoughts on what the Carolina Panthers will do? I mean, we've talked to a couple of different Panthers reporters that say, oh, they may not be forced to take defense in round one, but it feels like they're, just like the Falcons, going to be addressing their defense with their first round pick, one spot ahead of the Saints. And if Jalen Walker's there, it's kind of hard to see him making it to pick 9.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because the Panthers are a team with so many holes. And yeah, Jalen Walker would make sense. Getting some juice on that defense makes a lot of sense, too. I mean, they signed a lot of guys in free agency, Wharton, Bobby Brown, Morig, but none of those guys are impact players, per se. So, I mean, defense makes a lot of sense. Jalen Walker makes a lot of sense. But, I got to agree with a lot of those other guys you're talking to, where I think, I wouldn't be surprised if the Panthers maybe even reached a little bit, grabbed one of the top wide receivers. I think most books have plus 500 for the Panthers to draft a wide receiver with their first pick. And, you know, I think there's value in that because we know that they interviewed Teteroa McMillan and Matthew Golden at the Combine. We know that, you know, they're going to stick with Bryce Young and they need to get him targets. They need guys that can separate. I think McMillan's, a great receiver, but, maybe they already have kind of a couple of big receivers there. So a guy like Golden that gives speed to them can give them a guy that can get open so that Young's not getting teed off on, I think would make a lot of sense as well. So I think there's some value in looking at the Panthers to go wide receiver with their first pick.
Rohit, last question for you. And I think we all sort of agree that once you get past Cam Ward, it's really a roll of the dice on where the next quarterback is going to get picked. But you may see a team, or teams, plural, try to get back up because you have that fifth-year option on that quarterback. If Shadir would get past Pittsburgh at 21, or Dart gets past the Steelers at 21, of a team trying to get it late in the first round for a shot at either Sanders or Dart.
Absolutely. I think that's definitely much, very much in play. It seems like quarterback is always such a tough position to evaluate when you're on the outside looking at. Seems like every year there's these guys that are being put in mock drafts first round that end up dropping to the second or third round because the actual teams making these decisions don't value the same as the average fan or, the talent evaluators we've got in the media. So it's going to be one of those spots where I think one of those guys is going to drop, either Dart or Sanders, and I think someone's going to make a move into the bottom of the first round to pick them up.
Rohit, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Great conversation. And, man, you can bet on anything today. And now, that's a lot of cash on draft choices and who's going to pick who and everything else. And one of the hot things I've heard from a friend of mine is that they think that Jacksonville may be somebody to roll a dice, and they pick Jalen Walker from Georgia.
Ooh. I would like that. I think there's so many directions Jacksonville could go in, but I think Walker is just one of those guys that he would be a great fit anywhere.
Yep,
Pretty much any team in the league could use an impact pass rusher, and he can also drop into coverage. He could do a little bit of everything, so he's just such a great athlete, and he was so productive at Georgia too, right? So I think he's a great fit everywhere, but yeah, in Jacksonville, he would definitely add an instant impact.
Rohit, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it, buddy, and we'll get you back on soon.
Thanks, guys. Best of luck.
All right. Rohit Panoe, who does a great job at covers.com. We're going to throw it to Ian Ozan, who has another weather bulletin for us.
Hey there, Mike. That flash flood warning we were talking about earlier now extended to 7:30 for the entirety of the metro area. That's St. Charles, Jefferson, Orleans, and St. Bernard parishes. Worst of the activity right now is over West End, Lakeview, Gentilly, City Park, those areas, extending down into Mid-City and downtown New Orleans. The flash flood warning, by the way, now covers all of Interstate 10 from Clearview through New Orleans East, as well as Interstate 610 and Interstate 510. If you're on surface streets or even the interstates, your best bet right now is just to go home or to stay off the roads completely. But again, flash flood warning now in effect until 7:30 tonight for St. Charles, Jefferson, Orleans, St. Bernard. We're seeing the worst of it over the city of New Orleans right now. It's pushing eastward. The bad news, though, is that we have even more heavy showers over Reserve and LaPlace that are pushing their way eastward. They'll be here in the next hour, hour and a half.
Ian, thanks so much for the update. We really appreciate it. We'll come back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. We're trying to connect with Les East of Crescent City Sports. Talk a little bit about press conference tomorrow for Joe Dumars as he addresses the New Orleans media for the first time. And also certainly the NFL draft, which is coming up this coming Thursday. And we'll have wall-to-wall coverage starting at 4 o'clock. Hoss and Deuce out at the Saints headquarters. And they'll be talking to all the Saints brass from 4 to 6. And then at 6 o'clock, myself along with Bobby J, Steve Geller, Charlie handling things behind the scenes, we'll have you coverage of round one and probably take you to 11:30 Thursday night. And then again, Friday, got two rounds. It'll speed up a little bit, but we'll give you rounds 2 and 3. And then Saturday, we'll have you the full brunt from rounds 4 to round 7. Thursday will be at 504 Golf on Howard Avenue. So if you're in the area, come on by and see us. And again, we'll be giving you our opinions on the selections. And also, you'll hear the draft choices. For the first time, they'll come on WWL Radio and tell you their thoughts. And a lot of them is just a relief. I got picked. For some of them, they're so thrilled. But, you know, you go through this process, Charlie, of 3 months, and you say, man, finally, it's over with, and I know where I'm going to be. I sort of know who the coach is, everything else. And it's a flip-flop of the recruiting process. Whereas the player, you have the advantage. You telling the coach where you're going. Now, the coach in the organization is telling you where you have to go to.
Yeah, and you see it with the emotions that some of these players have when they get selected, basically in every round of the draft. You know, it's always an outpour. And so it's always a great time talking with these guys once they get selected, Mike. And, you know, I'll be grabbing all this audio from y'all's interviews with them. And one of my favorite things, every single year that we've done, and it's become a tradition, telling them to give their first hoodat to the Hoodat Nation. And it's always great stuff.
Yeah, some of them are really good at it. It's almost like, man, I'm prepared for this
moment. They're fired up, man.
They get excited about it. And again, man, it changes your life instantly. And now with NIL, you are getting money in college. But boy, you're professional now. You got to learn that, you know, they're expecting you to do things at a certain level, and that's just the way it's going to be no matter what. One of the things today is, and we're going to talk to Pete Jenkins about this at 5:20. Pete's going to come on with us, talk about some of the Georgia players, LSU players that he has worked with, and his interpretation of where he thinks they'll play in the NFL. Mykael Williams is a guy. Charlie, you and I have spoken about this before. I had him ranked a lot higher than most people. I thought he would be one of the top 13, 14 selections in the draft. He just is built for the spot. He played through an injury last year with an ankle. And now, 2 weeks after, we had a long discussion on this. Man, I'm hearing everybody else say the exact same thing about Mykael Williams. And we'll get Pete's thoughts also on Mykael, who, man, if you were to kind of carve out a defensive end, he looks like Mykael Williams.
So the one thing that popped up with Mykael is the fact that he played last year with an injury, an ankle injury. And that's why, you know, you didn't see necessarily the pass rush production specifically. Mykael Williams, I think you'd agree with me, Mike. He's got such a high floor as a prospect. Just because you know what he can do in the run game and setting the edge at the defensive end spot, I like him a lot. I don't know if I like him in the top 10 this year. I know that you're higher on him than most people, Mike. That's for sure. Because there's some people that see him, you know, as a borderline first round prospect, if that, right? And, you know, if the Saints decide that they love his potential and they think that they can unlock some extra things with him, the athlete's there, right? Like, Mykael Williams is an impressive athlete, as you talked about the physical build that he possesses. But, you know, you're just going to have to fall in love with the player to take him at 9.
And what I want to get from Pete is the man, okay? I want him to tell me about the guy because he's been out on that grass. He's been the guy to work him out. And I know he catches an earful from Pete every time Pete goes to Georgia because Pete, you know, he's not the most soft-spokenest guy around when he gets on players. But, man, Charlie, how good can Georgia recruit? And when you think about it, you know, it's Mykael Williams and Jalen Walker and Malachi Starks, and there probably are three other guys that'll get picked on the defensive side. man, you got to give Kirby Smart, no matter what you might think about him as a game day coach, how good of a recruiter he is. And they're kind of like Noah's Ark. They got two of all of them. You know, they're too deep. No matter across the board, it's been a remarkable run for Kirby Smart in Georgia in producing all these early round selections, and especially on the defensive side of football.
So, Mike, it's funny you mentioned this when we were interviewing Rohit. Jalen Walker, you know, I haven't really considered him as maybe going fifth overall to Jacksonville. The report came out today from Adam Schefter that they could potentially surprise some people with their selection at pick five.
That pick, it would be Walker. I'm just telling you, Charlie, I hear the hoofbeats that, you know, who knows what Jacksonville's going to do. But Jalen Walker, to me, is a little bit like Will Campbell. You're not only getting the player, you're getting and I always grade up a player when I know about his leadership,
yeah,
about his focus, his attention to detail, that he gets other people around him to look better, and he's a playmaker. That's what Will Campbell does and did at LSU. That's what Jalen Walker is going to do, whoever selects him. He's that type of guy. And you want that guy. Okay, yeah, I want a badass guy on the field, but also I want a guy in the locker room that he can communicate to other players what he expects of them, because he puts his level way above any fan, any sportscaster, anybody. He puts himself at a much higher level to kind of hit that ceiling as a player. And I see that in Will Campbell. I see that in Jalen Walker. I see that in Ashton Jeanty. I'm going to be honest. He's another guy that's like that. That, listen, I know I can play, but I'm expecting you to do this, and I'm going to tell you why you should do it. There are maybe a handful of those guys every year, five to six, but we're talking about Walker and Campbell and Jeanty. Those are the type people, and I'll put Cam Ward there too, because I think Cam Ward is one of those guys that when he's going to get in the NFL, man, he ain't going to take no back seat. It ain't going to be no Will Levis stuff. He's going to take charge with the Titans.
So the name that you brought up there as well before Campbell and Walker and Cam Ward, Jeanty, that's who I thought, you know, the quote-unquote surprise pick could be for the Jacksonville Jaguars, is taking Ashton Jeanty at pick number five and sniping, sniping the Raiders, who are, you know, we've been talking about this for months now, Mike, that we expect Vegas to take Jeanty at pick six. But if he's there, because that's kind of the question mark, if he's there, because, you know, with the Jacksonville Jaguars at pick five, I could theoretically see them taking Jeanty. I could see them taking potentially, I don't know, Tyler Warren. Jalen Walker is the new name that's kind of popped up too. It just feels like, you know, some of these top 10 guys are locked in to be top 10 picks. It's just a matter of how it all kind of shapes up and which spots they actually land at.
Charlie, there's really nine guys. The pick 10 for the Bears. Now, there's always, not say always, but there's a good chance that you get an out of alignment pick. But if I'm the Bears, and I see Cam Ward's gone, Travis Hunter's gone, Abdul Carter's gone, Campbell and Mimbu are gone, Jeanty's gone, Jalen Walker's gone, Tyler Warren's off the board. If I'm 10 with the Bears, I give him the card, Mikael Williams.
Yeah, that was your mock, Mike, and I see it. Because he fits the kind of prototype that Dennis Allen would like in a 4-3 defensive end, right? So I could completely see that. If I'm the Bears as well, and this is where you mentioned the top nine, the Bears taking down the Packers in week 18 super underappreciated for Saints fans, where they hop up to pick nine because they were at 10 at that point. But now you're in such a good position, Mike, where you're going to get one of those quote unquote blue chip prospects at pick nine. And you feel great about it. It's just a matter of not having to reach for a quarterback with the ninth pick, which I know it's smokescreen season, but it feels like all the buzz is that the Saints are not going to do that, thankfully.
And the offseason has been kind to the Bears. I think they've done a good offseason. I'll be honest with you. Now, again, Ben Johnson's got to work his magic with Caleb Williams to get him to produce and not hold the football as long in the pocket, to be more decisive with a throw. But you see all those pieces of the puzzle they have. Charlie, the Bears are going to be a tough out. If they hit big with their first couple three selections, man, that NFC North with Detroit and Minnesota and Green Bay, and now they've opened the ring. Bears, now you got to walk in it and get the right players. But you talk about a dogfight. That is one of them there. The cage match is on with those four teams. If they can come up with a couple of three guys that can help them immediately in the lineup. When we come back, we'll finish it off here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing off here, hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL. Want to tell everybody at 520, the legendary Pete Jenkins will be on with us to talk defensive line play and all. I have 24 of my top 75 defensive linemen. Edge guys, interior combined, 24. That has never happened. This is 40 years for me. Never seen it happen before. We'll get Pete to talk about some of those guys and also the development of young defensive linemen. And at 6:20, the man himself, Ben McDonald, will join Steve and Charlie in talking about LSU baseball and big series coming up this weekend against the Tennessee Volunteers.
I got to double check this. Tennessee, I think, just dropped a weekend series to Kentucky, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
How about that? Right? That's just out of the blue. You know, a lot of these middling SEC teams that are kind of middle of the pack can take down the top any single weekend. And so we'll see what happens with this upcoming weekend series against LSU and Tennessee. I just know all the discourse online between these two fan bases has been very toxic. Oh, my team's better than yours. My team's better than yours. We'll see them prove it on the field this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, it's man, in the SEC, it's a growing hatred for one another in one sport or another. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.